The love of God will set you free. Glory to God. There's joy in the love of God. There's love in the love. Hallelujah. The Lord's starting to open up some new things. All right, turn in your Bibles to Mark 11. We're going to teach you some things about this new realm we're dwelling in. Hallelujah. So we're going to look at this in Mark 11, verse 11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. Say the temple. We're going to talk about the temple today. We'll talk about the media temple. We'll talk about church temple. We'll talk about your temple. Amen. Three different temples. The media temple, church temple. That's where we meet. And then your temple. That's where you meet with God. Amen. You're the temple of the living God. Now notice when he went in there, he walked into that temple. He went through that temple and he looked around about all things. He didn't say anything. He just did an inspection. But what happened afterward would tell you he did not like what he saw. Because when he walked in there, and I don't know that he would particularly always like some of the way we do things here on the earth. If he walked in. So he walked in, he walked out of the temple after inspecting the temple. He walks out. Goes to Bethany, verse 14, he sees a fig tree. Now, you know, fig tree is a representation of Israel, but it was a representation of the religious system that was going on inside that temple. When he saw that fig tree, he said, no man's going to eat fruit of thee again, because he was not happy. In fact, if you really want to know what's going on, you got to go all the way down into the 13th chapter to find out what's happened. 11, 12, 13. But there's a lot of revelation here that he's talking to me about. So he cursed that tree because he didn't like what he was seeing. And when he saw that tree, he cursed that tree. He said, that system's coming down. The system that I just witnessed, all that's coming down. Because I'm going to create a new system. So the next day he comes back into the temple he was in the previous day. He just looked. The next day he took some action. Say action. Verse 15, and they came to Jerusalem. This is his second trip in now. And Jesus went into the temple. He's inside. He's in the courts. And there's some issues. And he began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple. And overthrew the table of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And would not suffer that any man would bring a vessel to the temple. And he talked, he says, it is not written that my house would be what? A house of prayer. But you made it a den of thieves. Now you can see that on the media temple pretty easily. You have to understand these things are there because the Lord said, I want to show you what I'm so upset about. Because you're going to have to dig to find out what I was really upset about. And so when you look at what's going on, you see the money changer sitting at the gates of the temple. That was the first phase that was blocking God's people from meeting with God. They had to go through all of that. It should have never been inside the temple. Look, I get the fact that somebody doesn't know how to track a dove down, that they need somebody to sell doves. I understand that, but you don't need to be selling it inside the temple. That stuff done moved in. You see how that happens? It moves in. And stuff that moves in, God's going to move out. In our temple, because most of us say, well, I'm not a money changer. But think about it like this. Think about when you're going, Jesus said, I am the door. If by me any man entereth in, he'll go in and out. He'll find the pasture. He'll find the Father. He'll find the dwelling place of the Father. Stuff. He'll find the glory. But think about this. When you're entering into that door, there's not a bunch of money changers around, but think about this. Father, I'd love to do this, but I don't have time. Because I have to go out here and make a living. I got to go out here. You see how that works? I would do that if I had time, but I've got to keep up with the Jones. You know how that works. I've got all this responsibility. God understands I got all this going on. You know that he asked initially of the disciples, could you not spend 1 hour? 2.5 hours is 10%. He didn't even ask for 10% of your time. You know what we reduced that to? 5 minutes. Everyone say 5 minutes. Just give him his 5-minute quiet time. What are you going to learn from God in 5 minutes? How are we going to learn anything from God in 5 minutes? So you have to understand those barricades, those things that have been, those monuments the enemy's building, all of that are thieves. Say thieves. They're designed specifically to steal something from you. I want you to look at this verse, verse 17. He taught them saying, is it not written, my house shall be called a house called of all nations, the house of what? Prayer. Now I want you to drop down to verse 24. That's 17. And you go to 24, 7 verses later. That's deep, isn't it? Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe, say believe, that you receive and you shall have. Now that's very important right there. You want to circle that? You want to underline that? We'll get back to that. Because we're not through. That was only the first phase of the real problem going on. Listen, a lot of people don't understand in your pursuit of God, it's a journey to get to the Father because the enemy is not going to let you just freely walk up in there without a fight. He's not going to do that. He said, when Jesus said, I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he'll go in and out. He'll find fellowship with the Father. He'll find love. But the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. He'll be right there at the gates. In this case, he got into the gates. He was sitting in the courts and he built a whole system to deter, to block, to counterfeit, to distract. Anything he can do to keep you from the purpose of the Father. You're going to have to weave your way through that by way of compass. It's not an easy thing. If it was, everybody would be up in there. It's a thing called faith. It's a thing called focus. It's a thing called compass. It's being present with the Father. It's a thing that your heart has this interior compass on the inside of it that nothing's ever going to satisfy it until you get where it belongs. It's designed by God. He puts something inside of you. And no matter what you're doing, whether you're backsliding, running, or even searching and seeking God, it's designed to find that room. It's designed to find the Father. It's designed to find His glory. That's why when you're not, it's just, oh, it's a holy dissatisfaction when you're not there. When you are there, it's a glorious fullness. Called to that place, but the enemy's going to lay things down and you're going to have to get through it. How many people got intercepted into the system? Every day they were going to the temple, they were sitting at the seat of doves instead. They were in the merchandising part. They never even gotten to the temple. My place was full. Not one or two things. I mean, it upset the Lord so much when he saw it, he walked out and he saw the fig tree and he cursed that thing. So this is not the way I designed this. Sometimes in conferences, you've got to, you know, part the Red Sea of the tape tables to get to the meetings. I want you to go to verse 35. I'm going to drop down a minute. I want to look at the second dimension. Mark 12, verse 35. Not only are they sitting in the courts of the temple, there are thieves in the temple, deep inside the temple. Christine said something kind of remarkable. She said, well, don't you teach it? Once you get up in there, they don't have any access. I said, there's only one level of access they have. When you dwell far above the principalities and powers of this age, when you dwell with Christ, they can't go up there, but the doctrinal belief system can. And if the enemy can sow the doctrine, that has to be transformed. Because it's what you believe, and what you believe is carried with you wherever you go. The devils that sowed it may not be there, but your belief system is there. And they can go deep up into that temple. And what you don't know, they can block you, detour you, distract. You don't know because that belief system you embrace, and that belief system was entrenched deeply. And I'm going to share one of them with you. Now, we're going to go to chapter 12, but he's still up in the temple. He spent a lot of time up inside the temple. This one right here is going to blow some of your mind. So just get ready, because we're going to slay something called the widow's mite. You know, the one that gave more than they all, and how Jesus was so happy about that. I'm going to present to you, he was quite upset about it. But the Lord has showed something very new on this. And so I want you to look at verse 12, verse 35. And Jesus answered and said, while he was in the temple. So he's still dealing with stuff in the temple. Verse 38, he started talking about the right hand of God there, but then I'm going to jump into verse 38. He said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations and the marketplace, and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms of the feast. They like the exaltation that came from the system. The most dangerous things you're ever going to encounter are systems. Some you're aware of, and the ones you're not aware of are the ones that block you, because they're systems. And the chief seats in the synagogue, the uppermost rooms of the feast. Now look at verse 40. You can underline this part. Which devour, say devour, widows' houses, and for a show or a pretense make long prayers. What they were doing in there was devouring. Now, they already had the system at the court. This is phase two. This is the doctrinal system. The first system was the system of merchandise. Commerce in the wrong place. Do you know there's a commerce with God? God is not against commerce. He actually is very for it. But he is very against commerce in the wrong place. Especially the kind of commerce that blocks you from knowing him. That is what he's highly against. Now watch this. They said they devour widows' houses. And for a show, they make long prayer. Verse 41, and Jesus, he just said, yeah, they devour widows' houses. Now, in another section, he's scathing on them. I mean, he is going to town on them. He goes, you whited sepulchers. You're white on the outside, but on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones. He says, you devour widows' houses, and then for a pretense. He's really upset right now. He's not happy. When you read the other translations, or you can download my notes, I have them there. Mark 7's translation, I mean, he's upset. Say he's upset. In fact, Matthew 23, I'm just going to read this one to you. He says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, and you neither go in yourself. Watch this. You suffer you them that are entering to go in. That system was designed by the enemy to stop the people's access to the Father. To stop the people's access to God. And that's what the Lord was upset about. And he says, you devour widows' houses. So you have to understand, when he said that, he's very upset. I mean, he is going to town on them. He's talking like nobody talks like that anymore. That was nice, lovely Jesus. But he was tearing and ripping into things. So when he's upset about that, immediately that's on his mind. He walks into the treasury now. Now he's going to go in the treasury. I'm going to show you how they do this. Let me show you what I'm talking about so you understand. So what does this have to do with the love of the Father? Just stay with me. Verse 40, they're devouring the widow's houses. Verse 41, Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. Verse 42, and there was a certain poor widow. Have you ever had this one done for an offering of what you should do? He wasn't happy about this. He's already was scathing on them, and he went over there and said, I'm going to show you how they devour. Watch this. And there came a poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto his disciples, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you, this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want, say of her want, and of her living. Never at any time in human history did God ever design this gospel to ride on the backs of widows. But there was a doctrinal system inside that temple. And that doctrinal system was driving offerings. It was full of greed,
full of thievery. You got to watch the thieves. Now, just in case you think the Lord's against offerings, the temple had a treasury for a reason. That's how you fund. It's what they were teaching. It's what they were promoting. Let me show you something else. I want you to go over to go to the next chapter. Go to Mark 13 while we're at it, just so you'll know he's not very happy right now. He's not happy that she threw in all of her living. They were casting in of their abundance, but they were doing out of a doctrinal basis of greed. And I'm going to show you something really what God was upset about. I don't know if he was upset about that, but he was upset about something else. I'll show you that in a minute. Mark 13, verse 1. When you get that, you'll understand the heart of the Father. And as he went out of the temple, this is right after he went in the treasury room. Now, he's still fuming right now. Say fuming. He went out of the temple and one of his disciples said to him, "But master, look at the stones. What manner of stones in the building? Look at what good things that are going on here. Don't be so hard on them. They're doing good things." Because they knew he was upset. He said, "You see this building? You see these stones?" He says, "Not one. There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. That whole system is coming down. I said when I walked into this place, my Father's house is a house of prayer. And this is not what it's been made." If a disciple walked in there wanting to know God, they'd have to go through systems they're not even aware of. They get caught up in systems. They flow into systems and they get past the merchandise system. They get into the next system. But this last system that calls this thing with this widow's mite is what he was really upset about. And I'm going to show you why in a minute. Let me show you one more of their doctrines while we're at it. Go, if you would, to go to Mark 7. I'm going to balance you out. Then I'm going to balance you right in. Mark 7, verse 10. For Moses said, now here's one of their doctrines. He's scathing on them. In fact, this is at the same time. He's scathing on them. This was all taught inside. Now watch what he says to them. This is one of the doctrines he was very upset about. Not much different than some of the things that go on today in the media church, the church, and inside the temple. God wants to adjust some belief systems because what God wants to do for you is teach you how to engage the kingdom of God. And all of this stuff is fronting the kingdom of God to keep you from entering in and operating in it. Mark 7, verse 10. And Moses said, "Honor thy father and thy mother. And whoso curseth father and mother, let him die to death." Verse 11, "But you say," and here's one of the doctrines that was causing a devouring. He said, "You say, if a man shall say to his father and mother," it's Corban. Corban means consecrated offering, gift to the temple. "That is to say, it's a gift. By whatsoever thou mightest be profitest by me, you shall be free, and you suffer him no more to do aught for his mother or father." In other words, what's happening, they had this doctrine going on because the children would take care of the mothers and fathers, and they provide for them. But the priests were saying, "Listen, if you will give that money that belongs to that widow to us, you are no longer bound by the law to provide for your mother and father because it's now considered Corban. It's consecrated before God. And if you'll do that," now see if this sounds right, "if you'll do that, God will bless your mother. Don't worry about it. God will bless them. Just make sure you give it to us." He said, "You devoured their house." That wasn't the only devouring going on. But they were teaching that kind of thing going on in the temple. So people go in the temple, if they made it through the tables, if they made it through the merchandise, they had another system sitting in deep inside the temple. And this one got God very upset. Not only was he upset about the devouring of the widow's houses, but everything was designed to serve the system. God wanted to be their provider. The more I'm learning about God the Father, the more I'm learning about His love, He can't stand His love. It's so good. He's got to share it with you. And when anything cuts you off, He don't like it. God wants to be your provider, but they couldn't get through the system. They were taught to unload all that they have. The priests themselves wouldn't do it, but the widows would. Unaware. Now, why don't you go to Luke 11, verse 42. Then I'm going to share you why he shared this with me. Why he was really upset. There was levels to his holy, righteous indignation. The first one was the purging of the temple. The second one was calling that whole thing down. But there was something wrong, inherently wrong. That's what I want to share with you. Luke 11, verse 42. He's woeing on them. Woe unto you, Pharisees. You tithe, say tithe, mint, ruin, all manner of herbs, but you pass over judgment. Actually, the word judgment is justice and the love of God. Say, you pass over justice and the love of God. You bypass justice and the love of God. You bypass the love of God and you teach others to bypass it. Now he said, these things you ought to have done. The tithing. Jesus never said they shouldn't have done it. He said, this is a good thing. Said you ought to have done it, but not at the expense of leaving the other undone. You're teaching them all of these things, but you've left out justice and the love of God. You've left out the primary foundations by which the kingdom flows. I mean, even Abraham tithed outside of Moses. Even Jacob tithed. Those were tithes before the law ever was. Tithing was an institution of God. Jesus said, you ought to have done this. But you're missing the whole point. You're bypassing the love of God. And that's what I'm upset about. I mean, he didn't come in there because he was upset that they were receiving offerings. He was coming in because there was a system that blocked everybody from the Father. And taught them, trust in our system. Give all you got to our system. They no more had authority with God to give what they were promising to the people. I said, the people who make these outlandish promises, especially in the media temple, they can no more have the authority to do that themselves, but they're actually operating in a fear. Because they don't know how to get to the Father themselves. They know God, but they don't know how to get the Father to answer their own prayers. They learned a long time ago how to get it from you. Now, not everybody does that, but there is a lot of stuff out there. You're wasting your time and money throwing things into that system. It's a system, say a system. There is a institution that God set up. Abraham did it. Jacob did it. Jesus said, you ought to have done this. Even the Lord. I want you to go to Luke 8 for a minute. I want you to see this. Then I'm going to bring her home. Then I'm going to show you what he's really upset about. Luke 8. It came to pass afterwards, verse 1, he went throughout every city and village preaching, showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God and the 12 that were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. Say, ministered unto him of their substance. Jesus was not against people ministering of substance. He wasn't against the tithe. He was against the system. By the way, Joanna, Herod's steward, you know, Herod did try to kill him at one time. He said, you called, tell that fox I cast out devils. I know he wanted to say it. And he goes, and by the way, his chief steward's wife's running around with me, giving all his money back into the kingdom. God has an awesome sense of humor, doesn't he? The one that's trying to kill you, the chief steward of Herod, his chief steward, his wife's running around with the Lord. She was giving all her money away to the Lord, and he was receiving it. And they were blessed. There is a blessing when you give unto God. But then there's also a system that's keeping you from something. And that system, when you get integrated in a certain belief system, that belief system will go into the Holy of Holies with you. And it'll block your access. And more importantly, it'll block the transaction of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven wishes to transact with you. God the Father wanted the transaction. He wanted to transact with them. And he was blocked. Year after year after year, the systems was devouring people up. Nobody could get through to the Father. Go back over to Mark 11. The cross was your introduction to the kingdom of God. You were supposed to follow him into the dwelling room of the Father. This is what's wrong. I mean, universally wrong with the church right now. We're not getting enough people up into the Father. Look, I knew God loved me the day I was born again. But I still had stuff. Stuff that lasted 10 years before I went in the ministry and lasted 19 years in the ministry. Heavy stuff. Survived prayer lines, fastings, 521-day fast in a row, survived it. Survived so many hands being laid on me, survived it. Still there. When the Lord led me into the Father, see, when he said, he goes, if a man will keep my word and abide in me, and my words abide in him, if a man love me, he'll keep my words, and he will be loved of my Father. Because if you love me, you're going to follow me into the Father. Because that's where I got to bring you into his love, where he is, heavenly jurisdiction. And I'm going to sit you down in a room, and you're going to experience all the love he loved me with, he's going to love you with. See, that's a different level, because that's a dwelling place of the Father's love. That's not a visitation, encounter, or revelation of love. That's a dwelling. And he sat there, and what 29 years of knowing him could not do. 19 years of ministry, 10 years previous to ministry, he just stripped it out. And this is what John's all about, by the way. John 14, 15, 16. Being with, he goes, I'm going to come and get it. I'm going to get you. You're going to be with me. Father, his final prayer, I will they be with me where I am. They may behold my glory that I have with you. I want to introduce them to you, Father. I don't want them to say they know you. I want them to dwell in you. Everybody knows the love of the Father. We want to get you to the dwelling place of love. Because in that place, something happens. Pastor Chuck came up to me Wednesday and he goes, man, if people just knew what was in there, they would sell everything. That's exactly what the Lord said. If you believe what I'm telling you, you believe it's the pearl gate price, you'd sell everything to go after it. Because it's everything. Now, there's something else in there, see. Because you go into the love. But there's something else he keeps saying through 14, 15, 16, and 17. He don't stop with love. His mantle's in there. He said, yo, by the way, the works that I do, the Father that dwelt with me, he's going to dwell with you. Because we're going to come back and make our abode with you. And the works that I did, you're going to do also. The secret of his mantle was in that room. There's something else there. And he said it 5 different times. To make sure you got it. In chapter 14, he goes, you can ask anything in my name and it will be done for you. He says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it'll be done for you. Hearing you'll bear much fruit and whatsoever you ask, I'll do it. Said it in 14, said it in 15. Then he says it in 16. He keeps adding prayer to this. Christians are the only ones I know for praying for 40 years and never get answers. We keep praying. We never question it because we're faith men. We every once in a while get prayer. I understand that, but not like he got it. Did you not know that I could call my Father right now for 6 legions of angels to show up? Father, when he was raising Lazarus from the dead, he said, Father, I know you heard me when I said it. But for all these people around me, I'm praying so they can hear me pray. Because you're going to do this. Lazarus, come out. Those are the kind of prayers the Father answered for him. This is the kind of things he's promising you. When you're standing before anything that doesn't look like the kingdom of God, you can pray and the Father answers your prayer. It's a whole different thing. All the stuff we do to get God to answer our prayer. And right there in chapter 14, 15, 16, he tells you five different times, I promise you, I will answer your prayer if you do this. If you will come into the Father and come in his room, he's going to love you. He's going to get stuff cleaned out. Stuff you can't clean out, he can clean out. He's going to wipe your slate. He is going to remove stuff you don't even know is there. I'm going to open your channel so the kingdom of God can flow through you. Because what you don't understand about answered prayer is God does not exclude you in the process. You're included. You remember when Daniel fasted 21 days? Prince of Persia withstood him. Gabriel got through and said, look, I've been withstood. Michael had to fight for 21 days, but he got me through. Here it is, Daniel. Boom. Revelation of the ages. Bam. We don't have to do that. Do you understand that? Because the whole nature of being where he is, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. You've been raised together, made to sit together with him. If you follow him into the Father, all that place is seated far above the principalities and the powers of this age. So what's going on? Listen to me very closely. What's going on in the kingdom that's transacting? The enemy can't interfere unless he sowed a doctrine inside of you that's blocking the belief system. But he can't himself go up in there. He can only send the belief system up in there. That's what love tears down, by the way. And when he does, God the Father gets to start transacting with you. And when God the Father gets transacted, he's going to transfer something to you. And you're going to get to walk that down back to the earthly jurisdiction. Is this too heavy for Sunday morning? Mark 11. Now you understand what the Lord was mad about. He is going to jerk every system down, especially the ones that block the Father's access and the Father's love and the Father's willingness to transact with you. What did he say? It's my good pleasure, what? To give you the kingdom. God does not withhold. No, say no good thing. When you understand no good thing, when you get in there and you're having a struggle, no good thing, God, you never uphold. That God is love. He's incapable of withholding his love from you. That's all a lie. Faith will quench that lie. Mark 11, 17. He went and he cleansed the temple. And what did he come in there? He said, he taught him this. He said, is it not written that my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer? Say house of. Now, five verses later, he's going to tell you exactly what was on his mind when he said that. Because your revelation of prayer and God's revelation of prayer might not be the same. God's revelation of prayer is much higher than our revelation of prayer. And now you'll understand what he was so upset about. Now let's go down and look at the Lord's revelation of prayer. Because immediately he saw all the faith was misplaced in the wrong system. Faith was completely misplaced across the board. The first thing he said, three verses later, what did he say? Verse 22. Jesus answering said unto them, what? Have faith in God. My house shall be called what? House of prayer. I'm going to tell you what prayer means. When you get it right, you can say in this mouth and be thou removed and it will move. But here's what was blocking. You say, be thou removed, not doubting this heart, believeth those things that he saith. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, when you pray in this house of prayer, in the Father's house of prayer, this is what you're supposed to be doing here. Providing you can get through the systems. When you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have. Do you see that? That's a transaction. Believe that you receive and you shall have. He said it like this in the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name, Father. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Very interesting about the Lord's Prayer. Because we know Matthew 6, 6, before the Lord's Prayer is Matthew 6, 9. Matthew 6, 6 says, when you pray, enter into the inner sanctuary, shut the door, and the Father that's there, you're with the Father. That Lord's Prayer was designed to be prayed with the Father, not in the earth as a recital is made to be prayed, designed to be in front of the Father. When you pray, enter into the sanctuary, shut the door, and the Father which seeth you there, he's got to see you. God's saying he's got to see you. Well, he can see me anywhere. He needs to see you in his presence. You've got to be present with him. First thing you go in there, Father, hallowed be thy name. My Father, which art in heaven. You got to know him not just as Father, but Heavenly Father. Now notice this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. That word, thy be done in the earth, you know that word actually means, it's epi in the Greek, thy will be done upon the earth as it is here in heaven. Notice where you're praying from. Thy will be done, Father, upon, on the earth as it is here in heaven. Notice where you're praying from. You're asking, there's a transaction going on in the Lord's Prayer. It's the same transaction the Lord said, believe ye, receive. Thy will be done upon the earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come upon the earth as it is here. That transaction is going to take place with you. God's going to transact with you. Anybody ever taught you that? That's why he said, he goes, once you come to be with me where I am in the Father, here's what you're going to get. Ask and it will be given to you. Because I'm telling you, the Father's going to answer your prayers. You're going to get answered prayer from the least to the greatest when you learn to dwell in this place. Because you're dwelling in the presence of the Father and everything's going to be done out of love. Because the first revelation you're going to get is love. Then it's kingdom transaction. You want to know what he was upset about? The whole system, nobody ever got through to God. They went into the temple to pray and they got caught up in the systems. They put their trust in the system. That widow had so much trust in those priests, she threw all of her living to them because she wanted to get a hold of God. What is the stuff they promised these days? What it was blocking is putting the trust in man's system. And they never got to the Father. If your belief system, in order to obtain the blessing of the Lord, is 100% based on your giving alone, you're missing the entire boat. Because what that does is say, all I've got to do is write this check. And God's going to do all, it doesn't matter what I'm like, doesn't matter what's going on, he's going to bless me. Right? Now, enough of that. Now, I've already given you the balance. God's totally into giving. Because giving's a major part of it. But here's the other part. If we get so indoctrinated down that line, we never get to transact with the Father. Because we get caught up in that. That system catches us up. Why am I not blessed? I'm such a giver. I'm doing everything they told me to do. But I'm still not blessed. It's because you haven't learned to transact with the Father. Because the system cuts you off. You got to get through that. You got to go into the Father. We have to know God. God didn't design this all your life to spend all your life down here doing stuff. You don't have to know him. God did not design it like that. He designed for you to know him, to go into the temple to pray and learn to transact with the Father from above. Transact with riches and glory. My God shall supply all your need out of riches and glory. How about that one? How do you fit that one in? You receive with the Father because you're present with him. That's the part nobody wants to do. That's too much work. It's not work when you get up there. It's lovely. It's glorious to be with him. He's altogether lovely. In fact, this morning, oh my God, I got to go to church. I don't want to leave. You get so much, you don't want to leave him. He's like, I saw in the pastor church today, he goes, man, I just got to sit in his love so long until I just couldn't take anymore. I got to choose when it was going to lift instead of being afraid that God's going to lift. You get to drink and partake. Just be as full as you want. That is your doorway. To transact with the kingdom of God. You got to go through love. You got to go through the Father. And if they're not teaching that, they're blockading the greatest operation of the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you right now, it's not nearly as difficult as the enemy's making it. He's designed it to make it. He's designed your life to be so busy, you can't go up. I can't get through. I've tried this 3 days. It's not working for me. Listen, you stay with it. Stay with us. We'll teach you how to go in there. We have one mission right now to get this whole church dwelling in the love of the Father. dwelling up in, so we can pray to the Father. And we receive from the Father. And we carry it back. And the Holy Spirit takes what the Father gave you, bypassing the second heaven for those who have ears to hear. The Holy Spirit takes what the Father gave you out of the veil of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He manifests that into the earth. That's called kingdom transaction. And that's what the Lord was upset about. It was all being blocked. Nobody could get to the Father. Seems like we're still having the same issues today. Get us to the Father. Where you go to church will determine where you're going to go in God. First thing you need to ask about the church you go to is, what is your compass? Am I building a monument to you? What is your compass? And then what's your vision? Because if all they're going to do is teach you how to be socially responsible down here in a social gospel, you'll never know about that realm. It'll escape you all your life. When you learn to go up and start dwelling in the things of God, it's going to open the entire kingdom of God to you. It's going to open to us. We're going to pray and decree a thing. It's going to bam. If we made it to the love of the Father, we're going to make it to answered prayer. And we're also going to make it to His mantle. Let's give the Lord glory. Hallelujah. We're going to make it to His mantle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.